Our scripture this morning from Matthew 16, and here in the middle, at the end of the chapter, starting in verse 21, where Jesus predicts his death, says from that time on. And obviously, whenever we see something like from that time on, it's referring to what just occurred. And for those of you who were not here last week, what had just occurred was Jesus had asked the disciples, he said, "Who do the people say I am?" And the people said, the people say that you are Elijah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And you can imagine him standing there looking his disciples in their eyes, looking into their hearts. "Whom do you say I am?" And they looked at him and said, and Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God." And could you imagine the other disciples stunned at his words? They may have thought it, but they dare not say it. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "These words cannot have come to you from man, but only from God." What he's saying is that Peter could not have come to that understanding on his wisdom, on his intellect, on his reason, but he must have come to that knowledge through the Holy Spirit. And don't you know, that's why we pray, just as Brad prayed this morning before he read the scripture, that we would hear the word, that we would understand, that we would take this word in. As we pray each and every morning at the beginning of the service, we pray to ask God to reveal his word to us, because we cannot understand God by reason. We cannot understand God by our intellect. We cannot understand God by our intelligence. We can only understand God through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Word is so powerful, because it speaks to you differently than it speaks to me. Because my needs are different from your needs. And the Word, if you allow it into your heart, if you allow the Holy Spirit into your heart, the Word speaks to you personally, uniquely, intimately. And then Jesus went on to tell them, he said, "I will give you the keys to my kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And this is where the disciples, this is what the disciples heard when the scripture tells us from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, and that when he does go there, that the people will turn on him. Can you imagine that? Here you're following this leader who is obviously from God. This is pretty heady stuff these disciples have been involved in. Here they have left their work. They've left their work as fishermen and various other things, tax collectors, given up everything that they've known and followed this rabbi. And every place they go, thousands and thousands of people. And we're not talking about just the people in Jerusalem or just the people in Galilee. We're talking about the people from what the scripture tells us, the people from modern day Syria and Turkey and Israel and all the way to the borders of Egypt, all the way into Iraq and all the way into Iran, and all of those peoples around there came by the tens of thousands to Christ and delivered to him the crippled and the lame and the sick at his feet, and he healed them. John told us that so much of this went on that if we wrote it all the books in the world could not contain it. And this is kind of where the disciples were at this point when it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to them how he must be put to death, how he was going to go to Jerusalem, and he would be beaten, and he would be ridiculed, and he would be put to death by the leaders of the Jews. And Peter blurted out, as Peter's wont to do, "No, Lord, this will not happen to you. This can never happen to you. We will not let this happen to you." And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus, who had just told him that you will have the keys to my kingdom, that you have been given the word of God, what did Jesus say to him? "Get behind me, Satan." Who did Jesus say that to the last time you heard that? He said it to Satan. Don't you remember when he was 40 days in the wilderness and he was being tempted, and the Satan offered to give him the kingdom if he'd only bow down to him, and he would offer to relieve him of his hunger, and he offered him, more importantly, what Satan was offering Jesus on that day was to bypass the cross, was to not have to suffer, not have to be nailed to the cross, not have to be beaten, not have to be slandered. He said, "I will make you king of this world, and you don't have to do all those things that God is putting you through." Now it's confusing because we're talking about Jesus, who is God, who is fully God, but Jesus also is fully man. And he was appealing to the fully man Jesus, saying, "You don't have to do all those things." Just like he told Eve, "You will not surely die if you eat that fruit." He told Jesus, "You don't have to go to the cross. You can be king of this earth and you don't have to go to the cross." And now Peter's saying to him, "We'll not let you do it." And he shouts out, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, in the previous scripture we read last week, Peter was talking to Jesus, fully God, Jesus. And he was realizing that Jesus was not only fully man, Jesus, but he was fully God. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit who Jesus was. Don't you know that when we meet somebody, when we introduce somebody to them, we'll look over and I'll say to you, "Hi, I'd like you to meet my friend Maria Bach." But that's not all we say, is it? We say, "Maria is the pianist at the church. Maria teaches." We tell more about Maria. We tell not only who Maria's name is, but we tell who she is, what she does. In our last week's lesson, we learn who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the only hope. Without him, there is no hope. Without him, there is no salvation. Without him, there is no eternal life in heaven. Without him, there is no access to God. That's who Jesus is. This week, we're saying to Jesus, "This is Jesus Christ." And this week, we're saying, "This is Jesus Christ, who goes to the cross and allows himself, even though he is God and could call down the angels to rescue him and could with the very thought could wipe out and kill every one of the leaders of the Jews and the Romans. This is Jesus who humbles himself, submits to the authorities, and allows them to beat him and ridicule him and nail him to the cross, and allows himself to bear the weight of my sin and your sin. So we know who Jesus is, and we now are told what Jesus does. This is what Jesus does. This is our introduction to Jesus Christ. If any of you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is who Jesus is. This is what he does. And why does he do it? Jesus delivers us from sin. Jesus delivers us to salvation because Jesus is God. And you are loved by God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that none would perish. But many will perish because they choose to. Many will perish because they refuse to accept the word of Jesus Christ. They refuse to turn their lives around and give their lives to Jesus. It is so important that for some of us to maintain control of our lives that we will not give control of our lives to the Holy Spirit. We will not give up control. We will not trust in Christ. So we know who Jesus is, we know who he does, and we know what he calls of us. And just like he told Satan, "No, I will not do it your way, I will do it God's way." He told Peter, "No, you will not deliver me from the cross. You will not deliver me from this death. This is the way God says it will be, and this is the way it will be." You see, Peter was appealing this time to the fully man Jesus. "I'll not let this happen to you." And the fully man Jesus, who is tempted, unlike the fully God Jesus, who is not, the fully man Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. Get away from me, Peter. Stop this." Peter embodies my whole life. There are times that I feel so close to God that I can touch him, that I can feel him. And there are times that I want to scream out to God, "No, don't do it that way. I don't want to do that." But God's way is the only way. And Jesus is the only way to salvation. And there is only one way. He told Peter, he said, "You have in mind the things of men. You do not have in mind the things of God." And isn't that what being born again is all about? We can only receive salvation, just as Jesus told Nicodemus, member of the Sanhedrin, one of the prime leaders of the Jews, who came to him in the dark of night and asked how that he could receive the kingdom. And he said, "You must be born again." What Jesus was telling him is that we must completely turn our lives over to him. We must give up self. And it's hard to do. As a matter of fact, giving up self is impossible to do, except for the saving grace of Jesus Christ, except for the Holy Spirit moving through our lives. So what are we supposed to do with this? We are all called to repentance on a daily basis. We're all called to acknowledge our sin. We're all called to acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. And we don't like authority. And we don't like anybody telling us what to do. And we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And it's only through the grace, it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can live in Christ. And we can shout out, "No, Lord, I won't let you do that." And Jesus is saying, You must keep your mind in the ways of God, not in the ways of man. So instead, we need to shout out, "Get behind me, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. And Jesus Christ, lead me on." The Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is calling. The Holy Spirit is tugging at our hearts. The Holy Spirit is constantly calling us for renewal. The Holy Spirit is constantly beckoning us to do, to keep within His will, to do His will. And we need to listen to that quiet, still voice. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit. We need to mold our lives to be lives that Jesus Christ ordains for us, not the lives that we want to do, not the lives that we cry out as human beings that we want to maintain, that we cling to. We cling to the hate. We cling to the anger. We cling to the regrets and refuse to give up our lives to the one who loves us. Jesus Christ is calling to you still. The Holy Spirit is tugging at your hearts now. The Holy Spirit is calling us to keep in His will, to surrender. One of the favorite songs that we like to sing on special occasions is in this church is "I Surrender All." It's beautiful. And that's what's required by Jesus Christ, is "I surrender all." I surrender all to Jesus. I give up myself and I surrender all. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.